If you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope you have, it's like a man going to war without a weapon if you don't have a Bible. Acts chapter number 5 and verse 42, if you'd like to stand this morning as we open the pages of God's Word. The book of Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 42. Acts chapter number 5 and verse 42. The infallible text says, "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Father, in Thy name we pray. God, use me as a vessel now, Lord. In Thy holy name, fill me with the Holy Ghost. God, give me unction and the anointing. Heavenly Father, give me the message for the hour. And our Heavenly Father, minister through me to those who need it this morning. God, we pray in Jesus' name. And amen. You can be seated. In the book of Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 42, you're reading about the infant apostolic church. The book of Acts is such a refreshing book when you look at and remember that what you're reading is not some long, drawn-out church history of where the church is today, 2,000 years after its founding. But what you're reading in the book of Acts is the infant, apostolic, fresh church of God. When it had just started, had one message, had one Savior, had one Lord, had one baptism, had, my friend, the power of God. They had communion, they had fellowship with the Lord. Even at times here and there, one or two might be taken as martyrs in the name of Jesus. Did that stop the church? No. That, my friend, when you stomp on the church of God, when you try to put its light out, when you try to do away with the message of Christ, all in the world you're going to do is help propagate it. Because what you're doing then is the devil, or let's say it this way, God is using you, as much as you may hate the church, He's using you as a filter to filter the junk out of the church and purify it. And as the church is purified, more power comes into the church of God. The power of Christ, the risen, resurrected one. But I want you to notice the book of Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 42, the scripture says that they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. My friend, 2,000 years after the founding of the church of God, I look about me and I look at all these denominations we have and all this church baggage we've got and all this stuff. You can go from one to the other, and one brags about his group, the other brags about his crowd. This one brags about this monument, this one brags about that man. You go from one group to the next and they'll brag about their fellowship, or they'll brag about their schools, or they'll brag about their accomplishments. But the bottom line is, and ask yourself this question this morning and get the answer from God. Is the church better off now after 2,000 years of this junk? Or should we go back to what they had 2,000 years ago and go back to the apostolic church where they didn't have any big men, they didn't have any monuments, they didn't have any of these things that we have today that are so powerful people think they must have in the church? They didn't have them then. They had a resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. They had the Son of God living in their midst. They had the power of the Holy Spirit abiding with them. When they prayed, God answered their prayers. When they came together and prayed, the world shook. When they got together and called upon God, they prayed but like they really meant it, and that God would answer what they said. They prayed with anticipation that the Almighty was more than willing to do above and beyond all that you could ask or think. May God divorce us from religion today. May He separate us from the so-called Christian religion, and let Jesus Christ become the head of this place. Let the Lord Jesus Christ and His name be glorified in this house. Let His Spirit be all there is. Let us hear His very breath. Let us feel His heartbeat. Let Him be all that matters. When we walk inside this building, it's got to be about Jesus. The only way the Father will have anything to do with us is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way the Holy Ghost will anoint anything is if the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted and lifted up. But my friend, when you go to the average church today, you hear everything in the world lifted up, but the Lord Jesus Christ. They lift up the men, they lift up the program, they lift up their building program. They lift up their saints. They lift up all of their works and this and that. Folks, that's just so much dead weight without the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, everything that you've ever known or ever will know, everything that you've ever seen or ever will see, everything that's ever been part of your life or ever will be, only has meaning as it relates to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, 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 amen. I'm saying to you today that the Lord Jesus Christ is preeminent. I'm not saying that with lip service. I'm saying that because that is true. When you walk into a graveyard and you bury a dead body, you're not thinking about your building program. When you're watching people fall across the casket for a 30-year-old man and the tears are flowing and the hearts are broken, you're not thinking about great men. When you come down to the issues of eternity, where are you going? Where did you come from? What's salvation about? You're not thinking about this place. You're thinking about the name that is above every name, the name that can make you free, the name that can save you. Jesus Christ will be glorified in this house. Lift up His name and watch the Holy Ghost take that name and write it in your soul. Watch that name become preeminent when you begin to pray. My friend, Jesus Christ is who you should be looking at. He should you be talking about. He's the one that you should be praying to. He's the one that should have the first place in your life. It should be the Son of God. And if it's not, my friend, something else has taken its place. You say, I'm busy for the Lord. I don't care about how busy you are for the Lord. How much is the Lord, in your life? That's what I'm concerned about. For Jesus Christ is not preeminent. If He's not first, if He's not the Almighty, your works are dead works because they're not done by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. There's a term that Paul liked to use. He used it over and over and over again in the New Testament. And that term, my friend, you seldom hear today. It is a term that was dear to him. For in every book that I can find that he wrote, he used it time and again. It was a term that he relished in saying. It came from his heart. It flowed from his soul. But my friend, I haven't heard a preacher use it. I haven't heard it on TV. I haven't heard it in music. I haven't heard it in a long time. You say, what's that term, preacher? What's the foreign to us today? What's the term that you seldom ever hear? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said over and over and over again. Give a Bible program, run a concordance search, and you'll be amazed at the times that the Lord Jesus Christ, those three words in that order, show up in the apostles' writings over and over and over again. He wanted to give him his full title. He wanted you to know that He wasn't just Jesus. He wasn't just Christ. He wasn't just Lord. He was the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something about the way it comes out of the mouth that moves the soul. There's something about that name when it's said like that that has power. But He's not the only one. Peter said it too. Peter said the Lord Jesus Christ. So did John. He liked that term too. He said the Lord Jesus Christ. Sort of James. James said the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the apostles loved that term. They loved that title. They loved that name. And my friend, if you're going to have life in your life, you're going to have the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord God Almighty of your life. I'm telling you right now, your joy doesn't come from doing. Your joy doesn't come from being with somebody else. Your joy doesn't come from anything that you can make happen. Your joy will come when the Lord Jesus Christ is held up before your eyes 24/7. Every day, every waking moment of the day, you breathe Jesus. My friend, you live Jesus. He's about your life. Everything you do is about the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, what you're talking about is infatuation. Why, you're talking about being completely immersed in the Son of God. You got me right. Amen. That's exactly what I'm talking about. After all, is He God? Is He your God? Or do you have another God? Well, I have God the Father. Let me tell you something, people. There's but one God.
There's just one God. There's just one God. I'm a Trinitarian, yes. But my friend, Jesus Christ is God. There is no God outside of Him. And apart from Him, He is God. And God manifests Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. When the Son of God raised His hand, He raised it by the power of the Holy Ghost. There's just one God. And when I look up at You, the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm worshiping God. When I pray to Him, I'm worshiping God. When I exalt His name, I'm worshiping God. For the Lord Jesus Christ, He is everything there is or ever will be. Look at His name broken down. Lord means Master. He's the owner. But we give Him lip service when we call Him Lord. Lord, Lord. He said, why call ye Me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? That has to do with authority. It has to do with Master, ownership. He owns me. I want Him to own me lock, stock, and barrel. I belong to Him. I don't belong to me. I don't belong to you. I don't belong to the ministry. I belong to Him. He's Lord. If when I say Lord, I mean He's Lord. I mean He tells me when to get up and when to go to bed. He tells me where to go and when to come back. He tells me what my life is about. And I say, yea, Lord. Yes, Lord. You are Lord. He is Lord. Is there anybody bigger than You, greater than You, that You can bow down before, that can become the sovereign over your life and tell you what to do, when to do it, and you answer to Him? If there is nobody like that in your life, you don't have a Lord. You got a Jesus somewhere out here that's like the Jesus preached out here in these churches that has no power. He has no authority. He has nothing. He's just a kind of a mushy, made over in the image of man, religious figure that coexists with the rest of the religions of the world. Not mine. Not mine. My Jesus doesn't coexist with anybody. They exist because He exists. He upholds all things by the word of His power. Every time I see one of those bumper stickers, the devil jumps on me and I want to reach over and rip it right off the bumper. I'm telling you, I get a temptation like you wouldn't believe. I like to get a can of black spray paint and just spray all over that thing and then put the name Jesus is Lord over the top of it. You say, that ain't very nice, preacher. I know it ain't, amen. But I'd like to do it because He's the Lord. And that name Jesus, I'll tell you, friend, the name Jesus will make you free. The name Jesus ought to excite you. The name Jesus ought to stir your soul. The name Jesus is the name of my Savior. I got a Savior. He saved me. He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm not going to hell because of Jesus. If you want to ask me how righteous I am, I'll say I'm that righteous. But He's righteous. And He's covered me. Put a coat on me of His righteousness. Therefore, the devil cannot break through that barrier. There's an awful lot of things. The more I study, the more I read the Word, and the more I pray, God has begun to open up my mind and my spirit and show me how that there is a world that exists that you can enter into as a Christian that is full of privileges, full of blessings that Satan knows nothing about. He knows nothing about it because he cannot receive it. He's dead spiritually. But you're born again. Having saved. Having saved. 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 I like the way it sounds. Having saved. You say to an unsaved man, so-and-so got saved. And they look over at you and say, what are you talking about? Got saved. Let me tell you what the word means. It means that I got saved from eternal damnation. I got saved from hell fire. I got saved from my sins. I got saved from condemnation. But my friend, it has another part to it. I was saved from this world unto Him. He saved me. He saved me. Have you been saved? Ernest, if you've been confirmed. I'm not interested if you've been baptized. I don't care how many times somebody's hung something around your neck, called you this or that in their church. Have you been saved? If you know the name of Jesus, you know the Savior. Then the Bible said He's the Lord Jesus Christ. That Christ part, that's a mysterious part. That's the part that has to do with what came down from heaven from the hand of the Father when He anointed Jesus of Nazareth. For He didn't anoint Him like He anointed me. And my friend, He anointed me as He anointed you. Are you listening to me? Have you ever had the power of the Holy Ghost come down on your soul and take hold of your life and move your soul and set you on fire like you never had been before? I'm telling you, that is your privilege. That is your heritage. That is your right. A Christian today ought to say, Lord God, if you got something for me that I need, I'll crawl up here. I'll crawl under the carpet. I'll spread myself out. I want that unction. I want that anointing. I want that power. But the Bible said He anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Not like me. Because there's a big difference between me and Him. Y'all get that right? Oh, preacher, I thought you were someone. I'm just an old dog that got saved. How did He anoint him, preacher? The Bible said that He anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. In the book of Matthew chapter number 4, the Bible said the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and lit above Him. And the Holy Ghost brought down upon Him the anointing that could have been for Jeremiah. But Jeremiah didn't qualify. Could have been for Isaiah, but Isaiah didn't qualify. Could have been for Moses, but Moses didn't qualify. Could have been for Daniel, but Daniel didn't qualify. Even my great hero Samuel, it could not have been for him either. He did not qualify. Why, how do you qualify, preacher? Because He was absolutely and completely, my friend, given up to the Father. He put His life in His hands that day and said to Him plainly into the glory. He said, I live for you. My life is for you. My mind is for you. My thoughts are for you. My soul is for you. I'm here because of you. I give myself totally and completely into Thy hands. And you say, well, it doesn't say that in the Bible. Let me tell you what it does say in the Bible. It says that Jesus of Nazareth was anointed of the Holy Ghost, and God did not anoint Him by measure like He does us. He anointed Him without measure. In plainer words, the full power of God Almighty's unction, the full power of His blessing, the full power that God could pour out upon His Son, He poured upon Him that day. That day there in the Jordan River, Jesus Christ was anointed, and He was anointed, and from that day on, His ministry started. He did not do the first thing as far as His ministry is concerned. I know He did things before that, but His ministry started when He was anointed by the Holy Ghost of God. You ought to come down here and say, preacher, I want my marriage healed, then let God anoint you. Say, preacher, I want some joy back in my life, then let Him anoint you. You say, preacher, is that anointing for everybody? Well, the Bible said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. If you're born again, you've already got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit already dwells within you. He's already sealed you. You're already sealed with the day until the day of redemption. What you need is power. How many Christians that you know are saved but live dead, defeated lives? How many? I'll raise my hand. I know a bunch. They live dead, defeated lives. Why? They're saved. They're born again. What are they missing? They're missing the element of the unction of God. That is the anointing from above that cometh down upon the children of men. The Bible said He hath given us the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit He hath given us is for any that ask of Him. If you ask of Him for the Holy Spirit, not in the sense that you don't have Him, you've already got Him. He's in you. But you see, my friend, He doesn't have you. And until the Holy Ghost has you in complete possession, then you, my friend, are not possessed of the Holy Spirit in the sense of the anointing and the unction from on high. I don't know if you're capable of doing this. If you're capable of saying it, but it may help you to understand what I'm talking about. Do you believe that an individual can be possessed of demons? Raise your hand. And how are they demon possessed? They're demon possessed when either through drugs or sex or sin. that they give themselves over completely to what the devil promises. And their life is literally possessed of an evil spirit. That evil spirit, once it possesses an unsaved person, owns them. Because they have yielded themselves completely to the power of that spirit. In order for you to be filled with the unction and the power of the Holy Ghost of God, He's got to possess you. The Holy Ghost has got to possess you lock, stock, and barrel. Otherwise, you just want Him to bless a certain area of your life. And you want to keep possession and sovereignty. It will be hard for you to do the first time. But in your heart and in your soul, if you can say to Him, Lord Jesus, possess me completely. All that I am or ever hope to be is yours. I give you my heart, my soul, my mind, my being. I want you to take me completely, not just part, but completely. And a vessel that is completely yielded to the Holy One is a vessel that is completely possessed by the Holy One. What does the word possessed mean? How many of you have anything of value on you? Raise your hand. Have you got a gold ring on your finger? That's valuable. Have you got a watch on your arm? That's valuable. How many have got iPods? Blackberries. Okay. All right. Who has that right now? You do. That means you possess it. You have it. It's in your hands. This watch is in my hands. I possess it. Right? I possess it completely. Nobody lays claim to it. Once it's mine completely because I possess it. How many of you have ever yielded yourself up to God like Jesus Christ did in the Jordan River when He gave Himself completely to the Father? And He was possessed of the Father. And the possession was done by the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, that's the way God does it. Let me explain it this way. When the potter, God took Jeremiah to the potter's house. He said, go down to the potter's house and I'll teach you a lesson. So he went into the potter's house. The potter had a piece of clay spinning on a wheel. The potter was experienced, a master at what he did. To the untrained eye, you would think that the potter was touching the clay. The potter never touches the clay. He never touches the clay. I'm a mechanic. Your engine has oil in it. The reason that oil is in your engine is so that metal to metal never happens. At the moment that metal to metal begins to happen in your engine, it's shot. It will go so fast, it'll blow your mind. There is a thin film of oil between the working metal parts. Metal never touches metal. The crankshaft and the bearings, the main bearings on the crankshaft. Oil, thin film of oil. Connecting rods, drive your pistons up and down. Thin film of oil. To the untrained eye, you would think, my, he's moving that clay. He never touches the clay. He dips his hand into water. He keeps a thin film of water on his hand, builds it up on the surface of the clay. And so therefore, the potter touches water. The water moves the clay. That's the way it's done. Because if he ever touched the clay without the water, the clay would, just like metal to metal in your motor, bang. Your motor's finished the very moment that oil's gone. Bang. The Holy Ghost is no longer working in your life. You're immune to the Holy Spirit. You've built up so much, you're so full of yourself, so full of your pride, so full of indignation, so proud of your denomination. God bless your denomination. You're so proud of all your achievements. You're such a big man or a big woman in your church. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit, God says, I will reject, I will resist the proud. I will turn away from you. You will accomplish what anybody in the flesh can accomplish. And that's all you've accomplished. And that's all these churches are accomplishing today, is what anybody in the flesh can accomplish. That's why it's all constantly, day in, day out, programmed, prepared for the next Sunday, another presentation, another dramatic experience, the same garbage that you get out here in the world. But when you come into the house of God and the Holy Ghost begins to move in that place, that Holy Spirit's beginning to move in your midst, and you were here this morning when the Holy Ghost began to move. It's the Father saying to you, I'm going to touch you. But He'll never touch you with His hand. He'll touch you by the Holy Spirit. And that's how He does the bolding. So when the Holy Ghost gives us unction and the Holy Ghost gives us anointing, it is the Father saying, I am going to direct your life. I'm going to move you. I'm going to touch you. And He does through the power of the Spirit. For after all, my dear friend, ain't nobody in this house wants God Almighty to touch them without the Holy Spirit. I sure don't. And you don't either. But by the power of the Holy Ghost, God has given us that thin film that we need where He can touch your life. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is the simple. This is a no-brainer. This is a no-brainer. Don't resist the Holy Ghost. How many of you felt the Holy Spirit this morning? Did you notice the different kind of spirit? You know what it did to people when the Holy Spirit starts moving around? People start rejoicing. It never brings a dead spirit in. First thing you know, you're saying, hallelujah. Women are shouting, men raising their hands. You're glorifying God. Well, that's what the Holy Ghost does. And who does He glorify? The Son. Well, why did He do that? He did that because He wants to touch you. Somebody in this house this morning is in desperate need of a touch. A touch from the Father. And I'm going to tell you right up there, before I came down here this morning, friend, I sat up there next to that computer and I felt warm oil coming down all over me. It's just like warm oil. And I mean, I thought, boy, here we are. Warm oil. And I got up, went off into another room, came back, and the oil was still there. It just felt like warm oil. It felt around me like glory all over the place. Then He started talking to me and He said, I'm going to bless that church this morning. There's going to be glory and power in that house this morning. I said, hallelujah, amen. And it's pouring the rain down outside. And I walk in here and there's glory and power. Now, God doesn't just do things to do things. There's somebody in here right now that desperately needs Him to touch you. You touch me. You ever heard that song? How many of you need Him to touch you? He touched me up there. And then be ashamed about. That's simply saying, I'm hungry. I'm God. Do you want Him to touch you? Oh, may do. Shut your eyes for a moment, Father. I bless everyone in this house. I pronounce the blessing upon them. Father, they've received Your Word. Now let them receive Your Spirit. God, move about this place. Help us, Lord. God, You're not a man like we are. I know what You want to do. And I know that You're going to answer prayer. Now, Father, glorify Thyself. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Just keep your eyes closed for a minute. Hallelujah. Come down and ask Him. Tell Him, I don't want to resist the Holy Spirit. I don't want to grieve Him anymore. I've heard Him talking to me time and again. And I've got up and I've walked out and I've just turned God off. And now He's talking to me again. What if He is, dear soul? Come and answer that. Come and answer it. What greater thing could happen to you this day than for the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning? He wants to touch you. Let Him touch you. Let Him touch you. Oh, I wish I had John Whitaker up here. He could sing that. He touched me. I've heard him sing it time and again. But John, I'm not going to call you down from where you are, son. You're in glory. And I'm going to tell you right now, where that brother is right now, he's getting touched 24/7. Hallelujah. Ha! Woo! He lives in the land of glory. He touched me. And oh, the joy that flood my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me. He touched me. He touched me and made me whole. You understand what I'm saying? One more time. The reason the Holy Ghost is moving all over you is because the Father wants to touch you. He'll touch you through the Spirit. Amen. 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 Father, give me wisdom, Lord. Give me wisdom right now. I know what to do in this house. Father, I brought the message you put on my heart. Lord, the last thing I want in here is to do things like we always do them and then think something's over with because we're finished doing what we think that ought to be done. God, do what you want to do in this house right now and do it in the way you want to do it. Lord, we didn't put a menu out here for you to follow. We don't put shackles and chains on you. My Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, glorify thyself in this house. Holy One, blessed God, do what you want to do. In thy sweet name I pray, in the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Oh, yes. He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. He touched me. He has touched me. If there ever was an old dog that has to say, Lord God, I don't know why, but I have to confess it. You have been good to me, and you have touched me more than I ever deserved. Oh, bless the name. Bless the name. I'm telling you, folks. I'm telling you what I say when I'm alone, and there's nobody to hear a word comes out of my mouth. I tell Him how good He's been to me. I thank Him. I praise Him and I bless Him. Some of the best worship services I've ever been in my life, friend. Just me and God. I'm not throwing off on our service this morning. You know that. I'm telling you that the Christian life is more than the time and place you are. The Christian life is the very essence of your being. In Him we live and move and have our being. We get so tied up in the temporal and the time and think, well, we got to do it now, or we got to do this, or we got to do that. No, you don't. All you have to do is just open up your soul and your spirit and let Almighty God come down and touch you. And He will. Are you hungry? If you're hungry, you can be fed. He touched me. I got up yesterday to preach a funeral. This brother's mother, Nancy Maples, says to me right before I get up in the pulpit, she says, Preacher, she said, this may be the very reason that my son's gone right now, is so that you can preach. She says, there are lesbians sitting out there listening to you. There are people sitting out there that never darken a church door. I said, just pray for me, ma'am. Just pray for me. And so I got up and opened up the Bible and began to preach the Word of God. And He touched me. The power of God came into that funeral. I'm telling you, when I got done preaching, friend, it was as quiet. You could have heard a pin drop. And it had children. It had babies. It had everybody you could imagine. Sodomites sitting in that room. And you could have heard a pin drop. And it wasn't me. It was the one I was preaching, and they saw there was one bigger than me. They knew that the power that I was preaching under was not of myself. It came from somewhere else. And that's the thing that gets men and women. It's not some batty rooster strutting his stuff, arrogant, smart aleck, letting everybody know how powerful and great he is. It's when God begins to move in a human vessel and men and women of time know that eternity has stepped in and somebody much greater than that preacher is beginning to speak to them. That got their attention. That got their attention. And glory to His name. Glory to His name. Oh boy. We got a sister here that wants to be anointed with oil by proxy. Have you ever been to service where you just felt like there's some people that need something desperately from God?
and they're just too stubborn or proud or rebellious or whatever to receive it? Do you know what the Bible says, Christian friend, if you're truly born again? Let me tell you something, my dear Christian brother or sister. Once you're born again, you come under an entirely different set of rules. The unsaved man can live after the flesh for 60, 70, 80 years, even 90. You can't. Once you're born again, you belong to Him, my Christian brother or sister. And if you live after the flesh, you'll die. Now, He's long-suffering. I'm glad for that. Oh, boy, He's long-suffering. Oh, He's gracious. Oh, He'll work with you. He'll work with you like you wouldn't believe. Oh, yeah, He will. He'll work with you. He'll work with you. He'll go with you to the drunk tank, rehab center, prison. He'll go with you. He'll work with you. He doesn't just drop you all of a sudden. But He works gently, sweetly, and kindly. And reminds you that you belong to Him now. And your life is not yours to live from then on as you please. If you live after the flesh, you'll die. You will. You will. Amen. Would you about like to come up and pray with us, our sister right here? She wants to be anointed with oil.